I debated about this, whether I should share the whole thing or not, and I decided I'm going to share it because I like being transparent. I walked in this morning. I have a sermon ready. If you remember, when we did the anniversary service, 150th anniversary, I had a sermon prepared that I said I wasn't going to share the whole thing because of length of time, and I said I wanted to share it in the new year. So that's what I was going to share this morning, called Leaving a Legacy. But I walked over this morning and saw there was a number of people missing and felt like I would like to share this with the whole congregation present, or at least most of us. And I went back over to the house and quickly looked through my files to find another sermon that would maybe fit today. And really quickly, I found one that I hadn't used in a long time. And it's actually one of the first sermons I've prepared. Revised it a little bit. This was all during Sunday school, so there was some scrambling going on. Revised it a little bit, printed it out, came over, and then more people started coming. So then I was debating, do I go back to my original plan or not? So I went and asked Pam. I said, what would you rather hear, a sermon on prayer or a sermon on legacy? And she didn't help me at all. She said, either one sounds good, and either one, and I'm like, thank you. So then she's waving her phone at me when I'm up on the platform and distracting me, and she texts me, she says, on prayer. It's like, okay, that's a good one. But, and that's when I decide I'm going to do that. But as the service went on, almost just about everybody's comments confirmed this is what God wanted me to share. Maybe it started out as a weird decision of what should I do, but as the time went on, I really feel like the Lord orchestrated this. So being that it is one of my earlier sermons, it's a little bit shorter. Some won't say who might be happy about that. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians 4. Very familiar passage, very familiar verse. You probably could quote it. But we heard, like Helen shared a little bit, John shared, I won't say a little bit because that wouldn't be accurate description. There's a lot of struggles, a lot of turmoil, strife in our world, challenges and trials we're facing. Heavy things some people are going through. And I thought it would be appropriate to talk about prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, peace is often reverberating through society. You know, peace for this, peace for that, world peace, blah, blah, blah. And it's not happening. How do we obtain this true peace? It's not peace from conflict, because that's going to happen. It's peace inside. And the only way we can obtain that peace is by talking to the peacemaker, the peace giver. And these two verses show several ways of obtaining and gaining this peace. And the world we live in knows nothing about peace. Really doesn't. And one question I'll just throw out before we start, are we doing anything to help them learn about peace, true peace? So first we have the command for obtaining this peace, and the command is, be anxious for nothing. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Anxiety comes with humanity. It's the territory of being human. Personally, and you all know this now, I've been here long enough that you should know this, I struggle with sometimes severe bouts of anxiety, debilitating at times. Thankfully, it's much better now. And I appreciate the prayers on that. But I think if all of us were to be honest, some more than others, granted, because all of us have different personalities, and I know all of you well enough that I could tell you which ones struggle more than others now. But all of us struggle with anxiety from time to time. The thing to realize is that I think Felicity's anxious about something. I'm not pointing that out. Sorry, Felicity. I guess. That's what it was. I just want to say, pause enough to say, I love hearing the little noises from the kids. Really do. That wasn't to embarrass anyone. I just, wow. And then, yeah, I could go on, but there's just something really special about that. I was talking to the guy that was installing our carpet, and I'll just pause to say this. He was telling me about their church, a church in Greencastle. I can't remember the name of it. I think it was UCC. I think it's what it was. 250 or 275 years it's been around, or forget what the time was. It was a long time. And he told me he's the youngest person at their church, and he's 58. And I was reminded how blessed we are. So Karen, take heart. You're younger than that. Not for long, maybe, but... Anyway, back to anxiety. The thing to realize about anxiety is it does not make us less of a Christian. It just shows we're human. And I've heard statements and heard comments, not as much recently, but in the past, that person, maybe they're not a Christian as much as they should be, or they're not serving the Lord like they should be because they're struggling with anxiety, and that's hogwash. It makes me mad when I hear that, because that is not, it's righteous indignation. I mean, it's okay. But it doesn't make a person less a Christian. It just means you're human. We need to remember some simple things in this passage that will help us to realize that when we face anxiety, we're not facing it alone. First, we need to remember that God is with us. He's able to care for us. Remember in Matthew, it talks about God caring for the birds and the flowers and the grass and all that. You ever stop and think, like, it amazes me how in last year it got fairly dry there for a little bit, and how it gets almost like, maybe you didn't pay attention to it like I did because I mowed grass for a living, so I had to notice it. But the grass has different stages of dryness, and when it gets super dry, the grass breaks off, gets dusty, and it's gone. At that point, when it rains, it has to regrow. But before it gets to that stage, if it gets a little bit of rain, it will instantly start greening up. But if it gives like another week or so, it'll be gone. And it's almost like there's no hope for it, but it comes back. And God's taking care of that, but it's grass. You think he might care about us a little bit more? Talks about that in Matthew, telling us that God cares for us. Fret not, he loves you. In John 13:1, just before the Passover when Jesus died, he's talking about loving everyone, even up till his death. Faint not, he holds you. Psalms 139:10 says, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Fear not, he keeps you. Psalms 121:5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. And we can deal with anxiety by remembering that nothing is too great or too small for God. How many times have you had God answer prayer for you in a small way? Like, finding something you can't find. Like, I'm missing my glasses right now. Oh, thank you, Lord, they were on my face the whole time. You know, stuff like that. Why do you think God answers little prayers? He's a big God, but I believe he does that to show us that he cares about us and the little things that we deal with. Can you imagine a big God hearing a prayer? Lord, can you please help me find my pen? I really like this pen. Really? I'm dealing with Israel right now and you know, Ukraine, and you're worried about a stinking pen? But he cares about us. That would be us if we're responding. And it shows that we're so much smaller than him, that he cares about the little things in our lives. But then when it comes to a big answer to prayer, what a bolster to our faith to see That's a mile marker. God, you did that in my life. And we look back and he answered prayer. Well, you did that then. Surely you can do this now. And granted, if you're like me, you forget quickly when the next big thing comes along. And you're like, I need to focus on what he did before so I can reassure myself. And maybe it doesn't always work, but we're humans, and it's going to happen. I know as humans we tend to worry about different things, but can we try, can we attempt to turn those worries over to God? I know that's easier said than done, but it's a good thing to try. One person put it this way, every evening I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. Another person said, worrying is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. And just as a joke to end this point, how many of you know what a nervous wreck is or have met one? Do you know what a nervous wreck is? It's something that lays on the bottom of the ocean and twitches. That's a nervous wreck. So we had the command, I believe it was, to be anxious for nothing, to obtain peace. Then we have the condition for obtaining peace. And that is, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And there's a condition to receiving this peace. Can we just expect God to shower us with blessings and do nothing? I don't know how familiar you are with the Dead Sea, but that's where it's believed that Sodom and Gomorrah was, and it is now a sea of just nothing goes out of it. It takes and takes and takes, and it's just the heaviest sea, and it's a very selfish sea. Nothing can live in it. It's very salty. That's basically what happens in our Christian life if we just take and take and take. We become stagnant in our relationship with God. If we just sit still and expect God to just shower blessings on us without even as much as uttering a word to him, we're not going to become a better Christian. We're going to just get stale and fall away. How in the world can you grow closer to God if you don't talk to him? Are you married? How much does it work to never talk to your spouse? And my wife's going to tell me, well, you don't talk to me either. But I think I do a little bit. But you don't grow closer to a person and learn to know them if you don't talk. How is it going to work in relationship with God if you don't talk to him? So how do we do this? How do we pray? How do we communicate with God? Well, the first one, it says there, through fervent supplication. You might think, why do we even bother to pray? And I've actually had people ask this question, mostly young people. Why do we even bother to pray? God knows about everything, so why do we have to pray about it? I mean, it's a logical question, right? God knows my thoughts. He knows how worked up I'm about it. I mean, he can just fix it. Well, I really feel like the simplest answer is, he wants to hear from us. He wants communication. And whether you realize it or not, petitioning God is an act of worship. Telling him your worries and problems, it's an act of worship. If we don't ask him, how sincere do we appear that we need his help? Where would we be if we couldn't turn to God in prayer? I've said it many times. I don't even want to think about life without Jesus by my side. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Just knowing this, that I can give him all of that. Whether or not I really do it, you know, in my humanity, if I'm able to do it, but just knowing that I can, what an encouragement that is. And then when prayers are answered, what a joy and a blessing. I look back, and even as I was kind of tweaking this a little bit this morning, thinking about what all prayers has the Lord answered in my life, big and small. And maybe not the way I prayed for them, but they're answered, and I'm much better for it. But we also pray through continual thanksgiving. And when Kitty said about giving praise to the Lord, I was like, thank you, Lord. That was another confirmation that that's what I was supposed to share. How many times have you thanked God through your prayer time and then felt better because of it? It's easy to ask and ask and ask. It really is. That's the easiest way to pray. But when we start to thank, then we receive a blessing. You know, there's times when I've tried to take my prayer time and just praise God. Like, just take like a minute and just praise Him. Have you ever tried that? Do not ask for anything but just praise. Within two sentences, it's back to asking. Thank you, Lord, for my wife and my children, and Lord, please help them to behave. Wait, no, I'm supposed to be thanking. You know? We quickly switch off the praises. When the Lord answers prayers, we shouldn't forget to thank Him. So often we have the problem, it's dealt with, and Lord answered prayer, and we move on, forgetting to give Him the praise for answering that prayer. I'm pretty sure no one has ever said at the end of their life, I praised God too much. I really shouldn't have done that. Did you know anybody that had done that? So try praising Him. And you know what you'll find? It actually distracts you from what you're worried about. A little bit. And then we have the conclusion for this prayer for peace. And the conclusion says, and the peace of God through Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever prayed the prayer, I'm not leaving this place until I have peace from you? You're discouraged, you tell the Lord, I just need a special peace right now. I just need a special peace before I leave this place of prayer. I've tried that. I think, I don't know more recently, but I know I've done it in the past. And I think there might not be this instant wash of peace coming over you, but it's like, hey, I gave that to God. At least I attempted to. And there's peace in knowing that He's bigger than me. And really, you can have a peace knowing that I don't have to handle this by myself. God's much bigger than my problems, and He's going to work out what's best for me. I should be able to trust Him with that. One of the things I've started doing here within the last number of years is, like, let's just say, forgiveness. Lord, help me to forgive, but also help me to learn how to forgive because I don't really feel like doing that right now. Or Lord, help me to trust, but, or I say, I trust you, Lord, but really I don't know if I do, so you're going to have to help me to learn to trust you. And keep casting all of those doubts back on Him, and it relieves that responsibility. A man I knew had this line that he had said, there's no promotion from God's will. Stop and think about that for a little bit. If you're in God's will, what better place is there? You shouldn't desire a promotion. How can we expect it to be any better? God's will is the best place for us. And then, why does it say through Christ, the peace of God through Christ? Well, there's a reason for that. What Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and how He, through His act of sacrifice, made entrance to the Holy of Holies, right to God's presence instantaneously. We all have access to the throne of God instantaneously. And I'm not me well enough to know I'm not this tremendous Bible scholar, and I have read different places in the Old Testament about people talking to God, so I don't know if there was still people communicating with God or if it always had to go through a priest. I mean, obviously I didn't live back then, but there was a special access to God granted when Jesus Christ died. And Hebrews 10:19 tells us this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Through His death on the cross, He did an amazing thing for us to gain access directly to God. Just, what if we had to wait on a high priest to pray? Wow. Can you imagine? Let's just say it's our church only. Okay, I'll say I'm the high priest, and you guys are coming to me with your burdens and things you need to pray to God about. I would have a pretty big job, because think about all the things you pray about. And if I had to take every one of those things to God, I would never get done. But then you think about all the people who are praying to God at the same time. Can't wrap our heads around that magnitude. And the way I understand it, I don't know if it was only once a year for sure, but it was not often that the priest went into the Holy of Holies. I'm glad I can go to God at any moment of the day, many times a day, and call out on his name. Come into the Holy of Holies, enter by the blood of the Lamb. Come into his presence with singing, worship at the throne of God, lifting holy hands unto the King of Kings, worship Jesus. And that's a song, and I haven't heard it for a long time. Look it up sometime. So like I said, I felt led to do this today, and I really feel like the Lord did direct this. Many here, many that aren't here, are dealing with heavy stuff. Don't forget the power of prayer. It's life-changing. Talk to God about your problems. He cares about you. Stand with me. Lord, we praise you for the power of prayer. We praise you that we can talk to you. And we praise you that you care about us. Help each one of us to remember to talk to you, take our problems to you, not forget to praise you, and then we trust that you'll bring us peace through it. Bless each person here today. Would you give them a special touch? Would you help them to be the salt and light they need to be? And would you help us as a church to share your love with others? In your name, amen. Thank you for coming out.